Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hello, welcome to Rich Channing's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. This week's guest is Lou Sanders. In this bit, we can do an advert for anything you like if you can pay us some money. This week, no one wanted to pay us any money for it, so I'll show you the kind of thing that could happen by advertising myself. I'm Richard Herring. If you like my stand-up, why don't you come to the Leicester Square Theatre in August and September, where I'll be doing every single one of my solo shows, from Talking Cock and Christ on a Bike, The 12 Tasks of Hercules Terrace. Let me see if I can remember them all. That's a start. I can't remember any of the actual material. Someone Likes Yogurt, Menage a Un, Oh Fuck, I'm 40, The Headmaster's Son, Hitler Moustache, What Is Love Anyway, We're All Gonna Die, Lord of the Dance Settee, I think I might have forgotten one, and my new show, Happy Now, which is on the 12th of September, is the final one. They're in weekends through August and September. Go to leicestersquaretheatre.com and you can book tickets. If you come to all of them, it's only £100. You can come to individual ones as well. If you come to them all, I make you a handmade T-shirt as well. That's the kind of guy I am, and a few people are doing that more than I expected. I'm making a lot of T-shirts at the moment. Anyway, let's sit back. That could be you. I could be advertising you. Look how amazing I made myself sound in that. That could be you. Just get in touch with us. Go to chris@gofasterstrike.com, and he will talk to you about how much that would cost. It would have been nothing for this one. It's Lou Sanders. We wouldn't have even really charged you for it. You could have had that for free. Enjoy Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who hasn't eaten asparagus, but whose wee just smelt of asparagus, genuinely, and he's a bit freaked out. It's Richard Herring! Hello! Well, you're much better than last week's audience already. I can tell you that. I can tell that already. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Or, as all the cool kids are calling it, Rehearlester-per. We are here. I genuinely can't work out why. My wee really smelt. I mean, I might have some serious illness or something. It really smelt. What I ate before was one of those little Pret-a-Manger. They're like a French ham sandwich, you know. They've got a gherkin in there, but that shouldn't make your wee smell, should it, madam? Do you know anything about what makes wee? You've got a daughter, so presumably you've smelt some wee in your time, because I've smelt a lot of wee. I've got a daughter as well, so I know what it's like. Most of your time smelling wee, right? Have you ever smelt your daughter's wee after she's eaten a gherkin and thought that smells like asparagus? No. Oh, that's good. It would be embarrassing. That would have been embarrassing to find out. What's your name, madam? Sharon, that's very nice. And you come here with your daughter. I thought it was your sister. I genuinely did before. Do you get mistaken for sisters often? No. Yeah? With your sister. What's your name? Tegan. Did you name her after the Doctor Who assistant? No. You could have been very popular with a lot of men right there. Right then, if you had. Well, it's welcome to the show. It's nice to have you here. Andy McCaich is here. And the butler, one of the butlers is here. One of the butlers isn't here. Yeah, it's good to be here. What was I going to talk about? Oh, the atmosphere's really, really gone out of the room. I feel partly responsible. There are some nice men. I will meet the audience here. There's a nice man. There's some nice gentlemen here. Are you with these gentlemen? No? I mean, for our audience, then, that these two guys... Well, actually, now the lights have come on, this one looks a bit like more like a regular... He looks more like a regular sort of site. What, do you work in IT, sir?
Something similar.
In finance. I'm buying a new house, can you help me? Could you give me like £1 million? Just for nothing? What? See, that's what people in finance... Well, people at home will be able to see that. When you ask a man in finance, can I just have £1 million? He just goes... That's not how finance works. We take our cut. And what about you, sir? You got a nice beard? What's your name?
Dan.
Dan. Have you been to the show before?
No,
because that's your... Will you come again, do you think? Yeah, will you come again? Because you're like a regular guy. Look at Andy McCaich there. Look at that's the core group. That's how it began. Met loads of men like him. Look at that old bald butler and then his strange friend. And that guy over there. And then now you're just a nice ordinary man in a nice checked shirt. What do you do for a living? You do social media for a T-shirt. Can you get me a free T-shirt? See that there? That's the difference between... That's why he's nice. Just straight away not. Ah, ha, ha. I'm not going to give you £1 million. Yeah, there's a slight disparity in what I asked for the two of you. But they're free T-shirt. It didn't even have to think for a second. You do social media for a T-shirt company. Is that what you thought you'd end up doing when you were kids? When you're at school, did you think that? Do you think it's what you'll be doing in 3 years' time? You are being filmed. Yeah, you do think you'll be doing that. Do they make good T-shirts? Are they novelty T-shirts or are they like video game T-shirts? It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's making you, he is. Yeah, you know, you don't have to say it, mate. We all know. Everyone was thinking. Yeah, he's cooler than the bloke in finance. It's what? It's nice to hear it. Why aren't you wearing one of your T-shirts now? You thought you'd dress up. And there's a kind of nerdy man here. I'm going to guess you work composing classical music for operas. What do you do, sir?
I look after the kids at home.
You look after the kids at home. Well, in a way, isn't that the greatest opera? In a way. I'm going to find out. How old are your kids?
11 and 9.
Because it's easy when they're like 3 months old, because they just lie in their own excrement and sort of don't do. Well, at least they can't move around. That's what I find. So that takes a lot of the pressure off when they start running around and answering back. Yeah. Oh, there's a man who's been broken by having children. I'm enjoying it so far. A lot of men have said to me that the first 3 months are boring. I'm absolutely loving it. I never wanted to grow up, but then that means you sort of want your baby to die, doesn't it? That's the only... I hope she's your baby forever. I really like it. She's cool. One day you'll meet her and you'll see. She's going to be the next great... I'm training her up to be the greatest comedian ever. I think it's important not to impose your own failings on your... live vicariously through the life of your child. But she sees she's pretty funny. I reckon she's going to be funny. So I'm going to train her up to be the best comedian ever, and then she's going to win all the comedy awards in Edinburgh, and then I'm going to get her to go, "That's for my dad! Why didn't you like him? He's dead now." Been dead. It's horrific. Every time I go away, it's fucking horrific. I was happy when I was alone and had no one like me, and I just had to look after myself because that's all right. Nothing matters. But now I've got people to be responsible for. Love fucking sucks. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and I'll do quickly. I've got one of these to do again. The very popular. that one's already been in. The thing I have to say in the opening monologue is from Colin Bolster. And he's making... This is a very elliptical reference to something I do on Twitter. So this is what he wants to be saying. "Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, Chapter 7, had me giggling out loud. Your wit never fails. God was in no mood for half measures that day. Lol." So... Thanks for that. I do retweet. It's one of my services on Twitter. I retweet when Richard Dawkins retweets praise of about himself. Which happens a lot, and that makes me feel a lot better about myself, because there's someone like Richard Dawkins, who I genuinely think is a genius and amazing person, but if he's so insecure that... And he's slightly racist and horrible, but his work's good. Sorry, he's Islamophobic, it's very different. But when they're that kind of insecure, they still feel the need to... And then someone brought him up on this and said, Richard Herring's retweeting your page. He says, everyone retweets their praise, surely. What a prick. So, and talking of pricks, will you please welcome my next guest? And let no one say, if this was a double bill recorded on the same night, that this would be an anticlimax. Let no one say that. She is probably best known as the... I mean, you know, she genuinely thought no one would be here in the audience when she came out, so she'll be very delighted that you stayed. And she's one of the... she's going to be... by the time this comes out, a week and a half, she'll be a massive star as a result of probably having murdered someone in a car park somewhere. She is probably best known... the most famous woman in the country. She's probably best known as the suicide pact lady in Rest Stop. That's why we're all here. It's Lou Sanders, ladies and gentlemen. Lou Sanders. Oh, she's coming to me. That's Lou Sanders. Always unexpected. There's your microphone. Pick up your mic. Got a glass of red wine?
Yes. Thank you for staying.
Of course they're going to stay. You're amazing. So it's fantastic. Tell us about the suicide pact lady in Rest Stop. That is what we're all here for. So tell us how you got that part.
I don't think it's out yet.
Right.
I'm in it for about a second.
That's good.
Just playing myself, really. Cool.
You make a suicide pact in it, presumably.
I don't really know what the film's about. I missed the screening, so I don't know.
You were there when you had to say the lines and stuff, though, right? You read the script.
About that. I don't know. It's a very talented writer, actually. She's really good, and she's about 26, and she keeps getting given loads of money to make films.
Oh, that's good.
So it's really cool, yeah.
And then she's put you in her film.
She's put me in her film.
Is it is it like a 15-minute film?
No, it's a feature film.
Is it?
So
wow.
How long are they?
Like probably 90 minutes. Sometimes they can be 120.
And I'm in it for a second, so... Have you ever been in a film?
I've been in a film called Manila Envelopes.
Go on.
I've been in a couple of things, but I think the Manila Envelopes, and it's like really embarrassing thing happened on it. I was playing a interviewer. This is before I did interviews, but it was called, what's the name of the guy who used to do all the records in Manchester? Tony Wilson, is it? Tony Wilson. So it was in the script. It was, I think, the character was called Tony Wilson, because I imagine they wanted Tony Wilson to play this part and didn't get Tony Wilson to play this part. So I had to interview this guy, and then the cameraman came up to us and said, "I just want to say I'm an enormous fan of everything you've done." And he was like,
obviously he got you confused.
Well, he was Polish or something. He was like, when I was going, "Oh, really?" And this is about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, what, have you seen my stuff?" So I was just, it's all. And then I realised he thought I was actually Tony Wilson. And then I had to go, because it would be too more embarrassing to go, Tony Wilson. Yeah. And I had to go, "Oh, well, no, thanks. It's really, it's good. All the stuff I did, and then music."
I missed out on a part that was written for me that I didn't get. Then they like wrote it for me, and then I must have been really bad, and then I didn't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think Manila it's like the rural juror. I don't think the Manila Envelopes ever came out. Did get mentioned by Jonathan Ross on film 2003 or whatever.
Hey, it didn't come out, unlike Jonathan Ross's brother, who did come out. Am I right? Oh, he was gay.
Well, I think he had some had some trysts in a wood, didn't he?
He was, wasn't he? But
he's married, so I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to define someone by the fact that they went dogging in a wood and sucked
No, a you're cup. Right, you're right, you're right. No, you're right, I'm being very judgy.
Probably, fuck it, it's only Paul Ross, what's he going to do?
I like Paul Ross, he's my favourite, no, he's not my favourite, but... Of the no, but I like him.
He's by no means my favourite of the Ross family. He's not even. He's
Diana,
my least favourite.
Diana Ross is my favourite. Like
So we worked together last year on. I expect a lot of people will remember
so many
and tuned in on FUBAR Radio. Am I right? Yeah, that's that one of us. We had our own radio show on FUBAR Radio.
I think they're still playing the old episodes.
They are.
I was surprised they played them the first time.
Who has heard of FUBAR Radio by cheering? More people than I thought. They're like a limpet. They're holding on.
They've really done better since we left.
I have. I thought that they were... Part of the reason I thought I don't mind going, there's lots of reasons I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Mainly John Gaunt being on the same station was the only reason. And then he went anyway. But I just thought they're not... This is impractical. This could not possibly survive.
And
it's still here.
And Mitch was getting about 17 times more money than me.
But you were getting very little money.
That's true.
But it was, do you remember What's in the Bag? Hey?
Great times. I was I wasn't really into it, was I? So I'd eat on air do my admin.
I quite like that.
An opportunity to catch up with my admin, really.
It was. I don't think either of us were massively into it.
No.
And it didn't feel, when you'd put out appeals to people to like email in or something, one person would email in. I think we did a thing saying, can you just email in if you're listening?
We got two that day, to be fair.
So it felt like we were sort of not really... It felt a bit. I was very busy at the time and a lot of things to do. It felt like it wasn't the best use of my
resources. Well, I had to prepare for my non-speaking part in Rest Stop Suicide Pack, ladies.
I've missed you. It's about a year ago since we stopped doing that. I was a bit worried about you. You were living a kind of crazy lifestyle.
I went mad.
You're a bit mad. You're a bit mad. It's hard. So how mad... Your character you play on stage is quite mad. How much do you think that is?
When
just
I was
like
actually
you,
when
you
I was
are.
At MacFest, right, I've been really well behaved. But so when I did a radio show with Rich, I had split up with my one of my fiancés, and so
did you still have some fiancés at the same? Or is one of the fiancés you had?
And so I would come in, wouldn't I? Sometimes with ciders and stuff.
Yeah,
it was fun for no one. But now I'm really great, actually. I mean, look at me. The only slip-up I've had is MacFest, when I did Arthur Smith's Drunk Chat Show.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, I didn't even realise I was doing it. And Arthur Smith sent me a direct message on Twitter saying, you have to get really, really drunk, apropos of nothing. And I was like, that is dark. What are you what are you talking about? And then he said for his show, man, because I'd had some doobie.
Right.
Bad mistake, and also some diet pills from America, because I just flown in from America to go to Wales, and I thought I'd have jet lag. I was an animal. I was doing break dancing, and I pulled the curtain down, then I fell off the stage. Luckily someone was videoing it all, and then I pulled his trousers down loads of times. He put up with it really well.
I don't think Arthur would mind you pulling his trousers down,
but it's the first time that he's had that for a while, I think. And yeah, it was entertaining for about 20 minutes, and then it was not so entertaining.
So really you're not any better than you were a year ago. That sounds a lot worse.
That was a slip up with the diet pills and the doobie, I think.
Not everyone in show business takes drugs, and it's not cool. It's not good. Just because people in show business do it, don't think you should do it. You could be like me and not take drugs if you want to be like me.
But you might have a weight problem. You will lose more weight if you do a little bit of cooking.
You will.
No, I don't. What did you say?
Lovely. You advise. I'm laughing at her. That's her mum there. You're advising
Hello?
Her child. She's a cool mum.
I think it's probably more harrowing you coming onto the mother and daughter than me saying you're fat.
I did that pre-show, though. That hasn't been filmed. I just did that.
Oh, shit.
I did that in my spare time. They can't stop you for what's in here. That's the thing. They can't stop that. They can stop you tweeting stuff, and they can stop you saying stuff. They can't stop me thinking it. That'll be the next step, right? Am I right? That's the old Americans. They'll get in your brain. They won't like what they find in there. If you're mad, I stop saying quite a lot of things. Even in this show, there's a lot of things I think, oh no, I better not say that. So imagine what those things are like. When the things I actually say. Do you have a mental filter? Do you manage to stop yourself saying stuff? Because it is... I like the, you've got a kind of brutal honesty that I enjoy. So, like, if something
is... Do you remember when we interviewed Robert Webb?
I do. That is my favourite thing that ever happened on True Bar Radio. And it's not hard to find that favourite thing. Because we went to interview Robert Webb, who was in Jeeves and Worcester.
Yeah.
And we went to interview him in his dressing room. And Robert Webb is a future guest. I may ask him if he remembers this. And our technique, which was quite a nice technique interviewing when we did, was for me to ask more sensible questions and you would come in and say something slightly less.
Wait, what's going on with your teeth?
Which is what she said to Robert Webb, which was quite slightly. When he comes on, have a look at his teeth. They are. But it was quite amusing to see his reaction to you asking him what's going on with your teeth.
Not into it, was
so,
it?
You know, so, yeah, but what I like about you on stage is that, like, if something's happened in your life as a stand-up, you'll go on stage and you'll talk about it, and on the radio. Mm. I mean, it's sort of disarming and terrifying, especially if you're running a radio show. I mean, if it had been on a proper station, I would have been really worried for my career, but luckily no one was listening.
I don't know why more people aren't, like, brutally honest. I think it make for great radio if Fern Cotton was really saying about what was going on, because she went out with a paedophile. I'd like to hear about it. I think she did. Did she?
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the paedophile, Fern, because that would be a moment of genuine interest, wouldn't it? What has Fern Cotton got to say that's more interesting than her having sex with a paedophile? Did he ask her to dress up as a schoolgirl? Did he call her a naughty? Okay. You get the picture. It's interesting.
I do get the picture.
Yeah.
He was quite an unpleasant guy, that guy, wasn't he? Turned out. I think his problems came out after Fern Cotton. Maybe Fern Cotton caused the problem. I'm not saying she went, "Oh, go off and have sex with the baby."
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that.
But you're thinking it.
I would never say that. But yes, it's got that. So is that how you come to your shows? Are kind of quite freeform and crazy. And
I'm very mainstream now.
How much is real and how much is you playing up to the character? Huh.
If my mum's listening, a lot of it's made up. In truth, it's nearly all real.
So when you broke up with your fiancé, you went on stage that night and talked about breaking up with your fiancé, or you explained
it was horrible. Yeah, I got some great material out of it though, which now is, which I can't wait to break up with the next one. But it's now dated, so I need to do something else.
Okay. And so what's your new... You're doing a new show in Edinburgh? Because your last show, I saw the DVD record. It's coming out on Go Faster Stripe.
It's not Go Faster Stripe. It took them 6 months to do. Go Slower Stripe.
So is it near... Is that coming? What's it called?
It's out. You'll be pleased to know.
It's out.
It's out.
What's it called, that show?
It's called Lou Sanders in Another Great Show Again. And this one's called Lou Sanders, Excuse Me, You're Sitting on My Penis Again. Great title.
And what's that about?
It's about me trying to go to Eton College for Boys.
Nice.
So I try and get into Eton and sort of harass them for a while.
Yeah.
I went there actually on the open to June the 4th.
Yeah.
Which wackily isn't on June the 4th. And they have like a boat procession, they have the hats. You know, it's all like loads of. There was a guy that I went past called Bunny. He was called Bunny. Oh, hi, Bunny. I mean, that's what you're dealing with. That's the level of posh.
They are very posh, those people. When I was at university with a lot of people like that, there's probably some bunnies amongst them.
Oh, because you went to Oxford, yeah.
I did, yeah. But I didn't go to Eton.
No.
So I went to a normal school and then I met some people. I didn't massively mix with those. I was at university more or less the same time as Boris Johnson, Michael Gove and... what's his name? David Cameron, that one. He's so forgettable. I mean, he shouldn't really be the Prime Minister, but he somehow... Yeah. Even he was surprised to find out he's still the Prime Minister. But I know those exact kind of people. And they're, you know, terrifying they're running the country.
I'm sort of really jealous of it. I sort of wanted to go to... I think I want to be a little boy.
So you're trying to go to Eton. As an adult, have applied to go to Eton.
Yeah, so I like call them up and I say, can I get in?
Yeah.
And then you can go on different scholarships, like if you've got a musical ability or sporting. So I just... phone them up and I sing to them or I do different things. No interest thus far.
But apart with you being a grown woman, is it entirely a boys' school? Eton?
So I just asked a straight up question first of all and I was like, can I come? And she's like, what what gender are you? I was like, I'm a lady. And she was like, it's for young boys. And that, yeah, but really, yeah, just really want to go. Like, I think my life would have been slightly different if I'd gone to Eton.
Yeah. I think it would have been, yeah. But do you think by trying to go now that will...
remedy we'll everything. My father leaving. Kidding, I sort of wanted him to go, so. yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to get in, but...
You know, but you no. might, you still hopefully might get in.
Yeah.
They might allow a...
Actually, I don't think I'd like it, because there's a lot of work that goes on.
There is.
I'm more there for the boys in their shorty shorts now. I'm more there for the, well, the contacts and the good times.
Yeah. Well, you get contacts. I think, I don't know, I'm not sure going to public school would be that amazing. I don't know, there probably are some public school people in the audience, but I think it's... I proposed
I doubt
that.
It. Look I at
that guy in finance, I bet you went to public school, didn't you? Finance guy? Yeah.
Did he?
Public school.
Yeah, you little shit.
They all went. Everyone in, all estate agents, everyone in... If you're an estate agent, you went to public school, but you weren't very clever. And
really?
So you have to become an estate agent.
Estate agents are so stupid.
Yeah.
They didn't go to public school. Imagine if you paid fucking 200 grand for your kid to go to private school and then they said, oh, I'm working at Foxton's. Yeah. You'd be gutted. So gutted.
They'll make it back pretty quickly with their percentage. Am I right? London homeowners who are selling their house. Shall I do some material about that? That's the whole thing. You know, it's not like they're clever, the people who go to public school.
Some of them are. The ones that I've met from Eton, my friends that have gone to Eton are so charming and nice, and they've got emotional problems in a different way. Because some of them were sent to boarding school at 8, so they were sent to feeding school.
That's a horrible thing to happen, right?
It's much better if I go now, age 21.
What? I propose. They bought it. I had to say that they mainly bought it.
One woman did not.
I'm proposing that because, you know, basically you're paying for a better education. It doesn't seem very fair to me. So there are a lot of people who aren't. If you go to a comprehensive school in the City of London, you manage to get.
I bet you send Phoebe to private school.
I don't think we will, but who knows? But we'll see. We'll see when we get there. No, we'll move somewhere nice and go to one of the nice comprehensive schools. That's how it works. So it's a horrible cheat in itself. I'm not totally against it, but I think if people do it, then they should be penalised. So my suggestion is, if you go to public school, you get, for every 10 grand you spend on your education, for every 10 grand, that probably is what has to happen. Every 10 grand you lose 5% of your A levels.
I think that'd be fair
because then, or like 1% or whatever.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with sending your kid to private school.
It's not fair.
And I don't think, no, it is fair. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having private healthcare because then you're less of a burden on the system. So schools are overstretched and hospitals are overstretched. If you've got loads of money, take yourself off and do it somewhere else.
No.
Just a no.
No, I don't think you can. If you've got the money and you want to pay for it, that's fine. That's up to you. But it doesn't. You can't say I'm helping.
That's a load of cock.
You can't say I'm helping people. Oh, look at me. I'm helping you by going off and jumping in the queue and getting cured.
No, but if you've got loads of money, which he's not doing badly. I don't know all this Kickstarter stuff's for. He's doing fine. But if you've got loads of money, I've seen his house. It's lovely. But if you've got loads of money, why would you go to A&E and queue for 4 hours when, like, Doris is there with one eye and you're like, oh, my foot needs to be seen? I think it's selfish.
Well, I don't really. I mean, I would like to live in a world where everyone got good education and everyone got good healthcare.
You'd
ideally.
Like to work in a live in a world where you get your dick sucked every day. Yeah. We've heard about it.
There's no reason why those dreams can't all come true at once. But anyway, that's interesting. So where are you on in Edinburgh for anyone who's...
Not interested. Sure. 5:30 City Cafe.
City Cafe?
Yeah.
Is that been affected? That's not been affected by the free fringe?
No. Lots of people got food poisoning there last year. Okay. I will say that.
We'll look out for that.
But yeah. I'm on at 5:30, which I think is a nice time, because last year, 10:30, you finish at 11:30.
Well, I was similar last year. Last year I was on at, I can't remember, 10:45 or something.
It's awful,
and,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, one, no one wants to come out that late. They want to go and drink.
Oh, no, my show was full every night. But, I just mean from a drinking point of view, because you can't go home at that because you're so full of adrenaline.
Yeah, but it's Edinburgh, you know. You're young. You're young-ish, and you're in Edinburgh. You should be out having fun. Oh, wow. I'm an old man. I'm not going to Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's how old you are.
Yeah, it's not really that, but it's, you know, I think it's... It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. It's kind of expanding out and going crazy. It's good. I think the Free Fringe is a great thing.
Mm.
Is it a Free Fringe venue this mm-hmm. is coming? So I think that's a great thing. So it means you can go and take a chance and do a clearly insane show about trying to go to Eton.
No, but like when I was doing the Pleasants and stuff, they were like, I wanted to move a chair from here to over here. And the 18-year-old manager was like, that's more than my life's worth. I'm going to have to call it the other manager, to move a chair. And then on the Free Fringe, you can kill a man and no one cares. Like, you don't care. Because you're not allowed to smoke machines or anything. It all has to be like health assessed and... But on Free Fringe, honestly, you could put a firework up and no one will care.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So, you're very spiritual.
Thanks for noticing.
You're into crystals and Reiki and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of...
What is Reiki?
I can show you.
Okay.
No, it's... it's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I want to find out about
sure,
it.
Sure, great, okay. Yeah.
That's sort of what I do.
I went to this Reiki course and it was me and loads of sort of disenchanted sort of middle-aged housewives who were really unhappy, and I thought, oh my god, are we just making this up because we're all just really lost? But then some weird stuff didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm very good at Reiki, so don't believe that I can do it. But I went for Reiki in Cornwall and it's amazing.
What does it involve? I don't know what
it is. It's like the Chinese. You know the Chinese don't fuck about, right? They don't fuck about. They don't give a shit about eating a monkey's brain. They're not a sentimental race. That's so true. They're not a sentimental race, but they are really it's so true, but they're really big into energy and chi and stuff. So that's my point.
So it's about inner finding your inner energy. It's about seeing the old people's auras.
Listen, I've got a pretty great aura.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
What's my aura like?
Is grey.
That's my hair.
No, you got a great aura.
Oh, thank you. I believe it then, if that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they work.
I was watching The Big Question. Do you ever watch The Big Questions on Sunday?
No.
On Sunday morning. And it's just like loads of basically mentally ill people given a platform to... But it is, though, and it's like people saying, they go, well, I believe this, and it's, and they're all kind of slightly glassy, and they go, yeah, and then the next person goes, I believe this, and they kind of go, yeah, well, you're wrong, but I can see that you're incorrect, but I'm right, because it's about this. And it's just like everyone's is trying to make the world
but
fit
you're
into their
own. You're real science-y.
I am. I'm sort of like facts and science, and things being proven to work.
So
I like, you know, the things that inventions that definitely work through science, rather than someone going, if you put this crystal on this table, you'll be cured of cancer. I go, I'll go to hospital. I'll take my chances with the NHS on that.
You should go private, I've told you. But no, there's loads of studies about how... So the Chinese, who I told you, eat monkey's brains and they don't fuck about. They've done loads of studies. Like with schools, they put a plant... I'm not very good at explaining, but... Okay, so they've got a plant bed of plants, yes? And they will... Two areas. One, they're growing plants and things over here. Other, same thing. Yeah. But this one, they'll shout and swear out. So it'll be like, fuck you. And they'll put hot, angry words underneath. And this one, all the kids will give loads of love to. It's at school. Yeah. I forgot to say that. So they'll be like, I love you. You're really positive things and positive written words under. And one side grew way, way, way more than the other side. And they've replicated that study loads and it really does work. And...
Yeah, but which side grew more than the other side?
Oh, the negative side.
The abuse plants.
No, they've done with ice cubes. They've frozen ice droplets. Yeah. They've frozen water. No, sorry, they've frozen water. And underneath one, they've played heavy metal. And they've written, "Why are you smiling like that at me?" And they've written words like "cunt." And the other one, they've written nice words, and they've played lovely music. And one of them, the water grows in. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. It grows in really fragmented shards, yeah. And the other one grows in droplets that are symmetric and really beautiful. Mm. And that's just science.
someone a fan of that. There's no way someone could, you know, just trick that. And
they're back. Chinese.
Okay. They're Japanese, a man says.
Oh, they're Japanese.
It's what?
His name is Imatu.
His name is Imatu.
Yeah, and he kind of chose the nice pictures.
Do you want to come up here and be interviewed? Because you're making a lot more sense than...
Fuck you!
His name... Do you believe in Reiki, sir?
I believe that people believe in it.
But he believes that people believe in it.
Oh, yeah. My God. He's a bull band wearing a hoodie. Let's not take him seriously.
So,
it doesn't matter. Shirley Bassey said, "I believe in everything."
Yeah.
Thank you. No, but I guess it doesn't matter what you believe in. If you put your belief into it, then it becomes true. Like, when people... Okay, here's... No, it's true. Because... Okay, well, when people are schizophrenic, sometimes they can change their eye colour and they can make birthmarks appear and disappear when they go into character because they believe it so much. That's the power of the mind. I feel like people aren't taking me seriously. I feel like people think I'm an idiot.
They could put on like coloured contact lenses.
That's science.
Okay. When you put cutlery in a dishwasher, what do you do with the knives?
Does it look like I've got a fucking dishwasher, mate? I have, and I put them in, and we've got a special tray for it, and I put forks, spoons, and then when you collect them, forks, spoons, it's all organised.
Yeah, but if you do that. The danger is the spoons will literally spoon with one another and won't get clean.
That is what I'm talking about.
It's cutlery-based apartheid, and I'm not really behind it. I think you should mix, put them all in their own little separate container. And then the spoons, especially the spoons, if there's a bit of dirt on one of the spoons and it sticks to the back of the other spoon...
No, it's separated with an appropriate gap in between.
Well, but so then they're jostled around, aren't they, in the water, and then they
stick
together.
No, it's got a special tray for it, Dickie.
So they're flat.
Listen, my dishwasher is working fine.
Okay. I'm just an expert on dishwashing.
I mean, more right, you've pointed this camera at... Oh, no, it is picking up...
It's not. It's all right. We used that earlier on.
Okay, great.
You can point it at you if you like.
No.
Oh, there we go. That's nice. That's a nice shot. We can use that.
The young girl and their mum.
It's the young girl, her mum, and the finance man, and a bit of the T-shirt guy.
Well, there's three empty chairs there, so that's not going to look good for sales.
But the thing is, they were sold, those chairs.
Yeah,
those
so seats, you got the money.
The people didn't turn up.
Looks really
and
bad.
And when that happens, it always happens, you get a sold-out gig and there'll be loads of empty chairs. You think, well, did they just buy the tickets early and forget? Or did they die on the way to the theatre?
There's been a lot of deaths, hasn't there?
Every single one of those seats is sold. So, you know, do you want to... The people who are so rich, so people trying to get into this gig, and then people are so blasé about the gig, they haven't even shown up. But sometimes you kind of think, oh, I'm ill, or sometimes you go, oh, I can't be bothered.
Sometimes you get the runs or something.
Yeah, you get the runs.
Do you remember when I pooped myself around your house? That happened, didn't it? Cool. yeah, cool.
Was it in the bed?
No, your lovely wife had offered me breakfast, and I just opened the door, and I had this strange sensation in my bottom, and I was like, "Ooh, I'll tell you in a minute," and then I had to go to the toilet. Is that where you're moving house?
No. Well, I'll do talking of my wife. We'll do the Dirty Brit. There's one Dirty Britcom confession about you. You looked at this Dirty Britcom confessions.
Yeah, I was hoping there'd been some. I looked at it like six months ago.
There's only one there. I'm surprised. I thought a lot of people would have Dirty Britcom confessions.
Well, no, I get like some people say like underneath whatever they say like things like is it really weird that I kind of fancy her? No, you're human. Come on.
Your Dirty Britcom confession is, I think Katie Wilkins, who's my wife,
oh,
and Lou Sanders should make out.
Too late, but you already did. And it was great.
If only I could have been there to watch it. But never mind. So there you go. That's that one could come true, or has come true.
It's already come true,
it's
yeah.
It's already happened.
When you were away on business.
Yeah. I don't mind. We've got a very open relationship where my wife's allowed to sleep with any woman she wants to.
And you just pop this.
Absolutely. And I'll ask you some emergency questions. We'll move on to the... I think we need them. And the first one that I saw, so I have to read the first one.
Yeah.
How sensitive are your nipples?
Oh, God. I mean, he'd be arrested in any other profession.
It's the question.
If he worked in any other job,
it's in my Lannister notebook.
Right.
I've got a Lannister notebook, my Slytherin notebook.
What's the scale? Like, what we use it? Like, 1 to 10?
Well, because my nipples have no sensitivity.
I didn't ask.
I envy women. So my nipples are look, nothing. I envy women because they generally have quite sensitive nipples.
Do you want them? Why do you want them?
Yeah, because, I mean, amazing.
But hang on, sensitive doesn't necessarily mean good.
It does. Well, not like if
no,
just like...
No, like, I met a sensitive man the other day. It wasn't good.
Okay.
Like, he was crying. Like, it's not good.
Depends what you're doing, I suppose. You know.
Like, if I like, punched you in the penis...
Yeah.
That would be sensitive, and it wouldn't be good.
Not in the penis so much. Not... Well, it doesn't. The peak of punch someone in the penis doesn't really hurt. Am I right, fellas?
No, it does hurt.
It hurts if you hit.
It does hurt. Look,
but my penis is 47, nearly 48 years old, and is there. Right. It's largely.
It's hard to find.
It's hard to find. It's largely just a sort of rubbery.
Yeah. No, Katie told me.
Yeah. Created a one human life.
She also told me that wasn't yours.
Doesn't it? It doesn't look like me. She's got ginger hair, my child.
Yeah, about
that's
that.
A bit suspicious. And I don't have ginger hair. Is it your child?
It's Andrew Lawrence's.
Andrew Lawrence's. I'm about happy to bring it. I'll ask you a proper question, sorry.
Okay.
That was just the first one I saw. If you had to choose between dating a man who was a 6-foot-tall penis...
I know, I thought about this a lot.
Or a man who, instead of having a penis, has a tiny man... Which of those two would you prefer to date?
Well, I tell you what, I'd date a few penises in my time. Because I was listening earlier when you asked this, Bob, and the reason I wouldn't go for the man with the man on his penis is that I feel so bad for the man.
It'd be awful.
In his pants.
What about giant penis man who's sort of slithering around like a slug?
He's having a great time. Because men are fixated on their penis, and what better to... stand, and they love it to be big, and so he's like the biggest.
That's too big, isn't it? That's too big.
Also, what a lot of fun, like at parties.
Yeah.
My friend Dave, everyone's like, let me speak to Dave, it'd be great. I would say the big penis, definitely.
Okay.
Because also you don't have to be faithful to him, right?
Well, that seems unfair, as you say.
Well,
he doesn't count as an animal.
Have a look at yourself, mate. I mean, like, of course I'm having an affair. Have a look at yourself. You're a 7-foot penis. Come on. Where was he? And the other
cruel one,
I think, like, if you had intimate relationships with the other one, which you would have to have sex with him, and then really what's happening there is there's a man who can't breathe.
Yeah. He could have an aqualung, couldn't he?
And he might die. Aqualung. But if he dies and you have to drag him out dead, and then what?
Well, then the man who's got a dead man is for the rest of his life, which I can identify with that as I go.
Can I say neither?
No, you have to choose.
Then,
you have to choose or we can't go home.
the big penis.
Okay, that's cool. Good, it's a good choice.
Imagine like Instagram, like the pictures would be really fun. If he was crying.
Right, I will. You rollerbladed onto stage. What was that about? When you were rollerblading around on one of your shows? Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
And now for a nice evening with Wallen. Yeah. Just making an entrance.
It's good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Have you ever tried?
I hate
wacky comedy.
No, I hate trying to propel myself around on ice or on wheels.
I'm so good at it. Like, oh, yeah. I'm really, really like good at skating.
Right.
Like if someone has a birthday, a roller disco, I'm like, oh no. And then I'm like, great. And I skate backwards and I'm like, cool. Yeah.
So they're your own, you got your own roller skates, roller blades.
I had three pairs, but I gave them all away.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not really roller skating now. It's not my vibe anymore.
Okay.
I've moved on. I do poetry now.
Have you got a poem that you know?
No.
What did you want to sing, Andy? You wanted to sing something?
It's not the night for it.
Oh, okay, we won't ask you that. You've been on a clowning course?
Yes, a four-day Goulier course.
Yeah, lots of comedians are doing this.
Yeah, no, I only went for 4 days, but it's the weirdest thing. Like, have people heard of Goulier? No, he's a French... He's about 80, isn't he? And he teaches clowning, which sounds so gross. Like, my friend said to me the other day, she said, I went to mime school for 3 years. And I said, oh, did you like it? She said, no, I hated it the whole time. And I said, Where did you go? Were you really good at it? She said, no, I was awful. There's something so gross about clowning and miming, isn't there? But he's an interesting man. If a woman came on and he would see beyond what someone was like. So if a woman came on and she was all like really nice, smiley, he'd be like, no, you're angry. You can be a cave woman. And then when she was a cave woman and she was angry because she'd never let this side out of her, it was fucking great. It was hilarious because she was like swearing at everyone. And it was just really funny to see because it was a side of herself she hadn't like unleashed before.
And what did they make you do?
Who's that French woman who's popular in the 60s?
Brigitte Bardot.
She made me do Brigitte Bardot because he said you have to be sexy and funny, and I was like, sexy's not funny. It was the worst. Like, if you could just say, it was the worst, terrific thing, and I cried into my clown nose. That's not funny. And I said, I know it's not funny because you told me to be sexy because sexy's not funny. And then I cried into my clown nose, and then he shouted at me, and then it got really good after that.
Okay.
You have to have a breakdown to come back, stronger.
Yeah. Let me know.
I'm
how that
still
goes
going through it.
And is everything all right in your personal life now? Is everything okay? Because I've been worried about you. It's been a year since I've been seeing you every week.
Yeah, I'm much stronger.
Apart from the Macfest.
I'm much stronger. I've got so many options right now. Yeah, no, it's great. Thanks.
It's good. Good. You must go and see Lou. She's fantastic. I will. What would you think Lord Alan Sugar should call his autobiography?
Lordy. Lord. Hang on. Here we go. Oh, I've got the Alan key to your heart. And now for a nice evening with Alan.
Yeah. I thought saying Alan's story would be a good title. It's just factory accurate.
I hate
just Alan's story.
I hate when people call their biography. There's so many celebrities that call their biography.
Story.
My story is unbelievable. It's like R&B videos with girls in bikinis. We've seen it. It's too much.
What celebrity would you like to have stroke your hair as you die?
Very good question.
Thank you.
Gloria Hannaford.
Oh, yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that I outlive Gloria Hannaford. But if I died now, Gloria Hannaford, I do think I'm going to die early.
Do you?
Because I took a load of DMT and I saw my own death. It was bad.
What happened when you saw it?
Oh, man. I went round to a shaman's house in Archway.
Yeah,
this is the spiritual stuff you want to hear. And I was... Man, I took a load of DMT and I did it twice as well. It was so horrible the first time. I thought, I'll better do it again. It was worse. And I saw my own death. And, like, I had a bike helmet flew off, and then no. I was going down this well, and there were shards of glass and everything, and my mum and Georgie and Helena and my friends were
there. I don't think this is going to... What, you're going to fall off a bike into a well that's full of shards of glass? And your helmet's going to come off. I tell you how, well, if I was you, I'd just never wear a bike helmet.
Well, I threw away my helmet afterwards. Yeah. Well, because then I spoke to this other comic who's done loads of DMT, and he said, it's a message. I think you're going to die. It was a message. So then I threw away my bike helmet, but I hate landfills, so I felt really guilty. So I left it on top of a bin in case anyone else wanted it. But then I felt bad if they were going to die and take on the curse. It was
helmet.
Terrible. And then I did a gig that night, and I was like, guys, I think I've seen my own death. It was awful.
Yeah.
But I'm still here.
It would be ironic if you die in a bike accident because you're not wearing a helmet, though. Which is
no, I've got a new helmet. It's a different colour.
Okay, so it was very specific. Was it that pink helmet you used to have?
Yeah, it was a pink helmet.
Yeah, it's a shame. That was nice. That
yeah,
pink
it was
helmet.
Really expensive as well. It was so annoying. And then I bought a shit bright green one. And I thought, oh, I'll jazz it up with some bike stickers. It looks awful.
So you think, well, so now you've changed that. You probably went full day. You fell down a well with shards of glass in it.
It was really... And then I saw some aliens, different types.
Sounds like a fucking great way to go, though, to be honest. I'd like to die if there was aliens and shards of glass.
But then the thing is about DMT is loads of people say that see the same kind of aliens and get the same sort of messages. And then it was amazing. So the death was horrible, but that's the loss of your ego. Then you go into this other world... And you're like, oh, it's beautiful. There's other world, and there's Indian dancers and hieroglyphics, and it was amazing. I felt such a sense of love. And then it was. Can we edit all of this out? Can we just have Bob Moore's? Am I getting paid? Anyway, it was really nice, and then the second time it was really dark. But and you know, a lot of the different civilizations around the world do different things like that to give them an insight into another world.
Yeah,
I was in a lift for some of it though, so it wasn't that ephemeral. I was like,
do you not think the taking drugs bit might be more responsible than the spiritual bit? Do you think?
No, because like, it's a spiritual drug.
Yeah.
You haven't. What do you know about DMT? Nothing. You're a middle-class guy who lives in the suburbs.
Shepherd's Bush is very street. It's not
don't
the suburbs.
Tell me where you live.
I don't know anything. I don't really know what DMT is.
Yeah, you release it when you die.
Okay.
And it's in every living thing, and they don't know
so
why.
So to take it, do you have to suck on the dead person's face? Because that seems wrong to me.
No, yeah,
however much you get to see your own death.
Yeah, it's that.
So, have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I thought we would get it. I think we'll just talk about the supernatural stuff with you.
I did see a ghost.
I think there's going to be good stories.
So, when I was younger, I had a friend, surprise, and she had a mum, another surprise, and they were quite weird, actually. But we went back to one of their friends' houses, and I was like, oh my God, like, what's that shadowy figure? There was honestly a shadowy figure came in, and I was like, oh, what's that? Like, it's probably me, don't worry, I'm probably going mad, but it was, and they're like, oh no, this house is haunted, was it? And then they described what I'd seen.
It was a shadowy figure. And what was the story behind it? Did they know what it was?
No.
Okay.
Oh no, I think so, I can't remember. But the point is, it's ignorant to think that we're the only things floating around, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's ignorant. I think it's, it's probably sensible to...
You don't believe... Hang on.
It's probably sensible
You don't believe
to,
in aliens.
No, I'm not saying I don't believe in aliens. There probably are some aliens.
Mm.
But whether they're coming here and in a glass...
I don't think they're taking a Texan man called Dave up to... I think Dave's had a breakdown. So I don't think they're taking him up and dropping him back. But I do think there's other things going on that we don't know about.
Well, that's definitely true.
Mm.
There are some things we don't know about that are going on. The universe is a very big place, and so, you know, there are likely some things we don't understand. But
sure.
I think also that it's very easy to make up ideas of what that might be, and it's probably preferable to actually have some evidence rather than just go, my guess.
I just
Here's
go, on a, gut, I go on a gut feeling.
Do you have any ideas for terrorists that we were discussing with Bob Mortimer last week?
Yeah,
seems a long time
ago. Put them in.
Feels like longer than a week ago.
Why do I even bother? turn it.
Have you got any tariffs? Do you come up with tariffs? Because I come up with awful things.
Right.
But like thinking like now, I come up with awful ways to kill my own baby. That's what I did. So like that's my brain. It's the most horrific thing because I love my baby and I don't, and I'm doing everything I can to keep her alive.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of my brain. Right. So if I'm feeding my baby, and the part of my brain goes, "You really twisted her neck. Now she'd die." I go, yeah, no, I know that. And, and apparently this is a thing to stop you do. So your brain's making you think these awful things.
Yeah.
And then it's going to prepare you to not do it. I'm not going to twist my baby's neck. I don't need my brain to tell me not to do that. My brain is part of me. It's like going, and you'd go to, A, your daughter would be dead, and then you'd go to prison for killing your baby.
Yeah, which one are you more upset about?
And then you go, well, you're in me. You'd go to prison as well, brain. Yeah. It's all very well you having a go at me, but you'll be in prison with me.
My friend's got twins, which is worse than one. Twice as bad. And she went mad because her husband was away, and so she had to look after him all week. It's hard with twins. And so she was like, oh, I'm going to throw one at the mother wall, which is normal, but people don't talk about it. So she wanted to throw one at the wall, but she didn't, obviously, because she's a good person. And she just got one of the toys, and she shook it for ages in her room just by herself like that. And she said, and then her husband got back, and she's like, you're going to need to take the babies, otherwise I'm going to kill one of them. And he said, why didn't you just tell me that? And you could have had every Saturday off if I knew my children's lives was in danger. Now she gets every Saturday off.
No, that's good. Maybe I should try that. If I tell my wife I'm thinking of killing my baby,
yeah,
she'd probably let me have quite a lot of time off.
You get loads of time off, mate. What are you doing here? Dicking about.
I also thought having a baby would be a great way to pick up women. It's not worked out that way at all.
I feel really bad for you.
It's like, look, I can do it. There you go. That's what you want, girls. There. Look at that. She's nice.
That's what you want, girls.
That's what you want. There
a baby. That's what you want, girls. You want the same.
That's what you're after. Bang. There it is. B, that's what they come up to you. And they go, oh, that's cute. And then you get chatting to them. And then you can upgrade to a better wife. But either, maybe my baby's not attractive to women, then it's an ugly baby.
Oh, yeah, blame the baby that you're not picking up loads of women.
Because no women are even coming and looking at it.
Have a little look at yourself, and then blame the baby.
For some reason.
She's older, you can tell her, you little tart, you didn't get me any women on the side, you little shit.
I thought, you look sensitive. Oh, look at me looking after a baby, aren't I? All sensitive. Then they come up, You get them.
Girls love new dads. Yeah. They're like, oh, a new sexy dad.
But they don't.
His wife's at home and she's just given birth. Split her vagina in two. Can't wait to get into him. Is this a feminist podcast?
It is. Well, you used to do more feminist material in your early routines and your early shows.
Used to have a thing about what's it called when they remove the clit? Friday night. Come on, that was great. What is it called? Female mutilation. Yeah. Great stuff about that.
Yeah.
Not topical anymore, no one cares, no. I don't do really political stuff now. Someone else is doing it.
There are lots of people are doing it, but you were doing... I mean, there were quite a lot of acts doing...
It's boring, isn't it?
It's not. It's kind of interesting. I think it's a great subject.
I do more prop work now.
Yeah, but that's good. It would be hard to take you going from veering away from some of the subjects you go to into something very serious.
It's a shame because it seems like the world really needs my voice on female mutilation. It's such a loss to the community.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna give you. Have you ever tried to communicate with the dead?
Yes. And it went very well. No, I did do a Ouija board, I think, when I was younger, once or twice.
And look what happened. So there you go. That's the warning.
Do it. sitting here with this paedophile.
Seems to have taken a leap
I meant...
It's worse that I want to murder my own baby, so it's actually that's worse,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah. No, I haven't communicated.
I don't want to. I love her. I don't want to. I'm not trying to really leave my wife. It's a joke.
It's good that these are in the archives for her to look back on.
I know, it's nice.
My dad was a great guy before he died in that.
Well, It's quite nice that that's there. But someone, when I tweeted some joke on the phone,
really
was.
Really smell that's smell Bob the Morton. Microphone.
That's Bob Morton's one.
It smells really weird. Just microphones generally smell. Okay.
But someone, I made a joke tweet on the day of
a joke tweet. What do you normally tweet
on my daughter's birth? And then someone tweeted back, and it wasn't even that. I can't remember what it was. But someone tweeted, "Oh well, when your daughter's old enough to read that tweet, she's going to be a bit disappointed." You go, really? You think she's going to go back Twitter?
Yeah.
7 years ago, and then look at that, and then work out it's not going to happen, is it? That's
also, because she's not going to be able to read at age 7. Your one. She'll be 10 and be, oh.
Very offensive. Very, very offensive. I was just talking about throwing her off the banister. Just chuck her off the... If I just chucked her off the banister, she'd probably die. Yeah, I know. Don't have to take... Stop telling me, brain. It's horrible. Your brain keeps on coming up with this.
No, they've got the hole in the head, haven't it? And actually, whenever I hold a baby, whether one I care about or not, I do think if I stuck my finger through it, go... And it'll be so kind of weird and satisfying, but so upsetting. The result of it would be...
It would be embarrassing.
It'd be like a real faux pas. Oh, don't bring her around again. Last time she killed my baby.
I am going to ask you an emergency
34,
question.
34C.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
34C. No, of course I haven't, you dick.
I thought if there's one person that I've interviewed that might have seen a Bigfoot.
I went out with a man with big feet.
Did you?
And it's a very small penis, so it's very odd how it works out.
It doesn't, it's not. It's
God's little joke, I guess.
There's no correlation between that. I've got very tiny hands.
And very tiny penis.
I wish you'd stop talking to my wife. Okay, well, it's been very nice talking to you. You've confused the audience, and that's what I like about you. I like
you've written it on your book. So on his book of questions to ask me, he's written LA and sex.
Oh, LA, I wanted to talk about LA.
And he's got LA sex and shameless.
Yeah.
So the mind boggles what profile you've
made. I want to talk to you about
me.
LA. You've been to LA a lot. How's LA? Tell me about LA.
Well, I thought I'd take my brand stateside, and it went really well. Didn't.
What happened? What happened out there?
No, I just...
You've been out a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, just doing gigs and stuff. It's nice. I like LA.
Yeah.
I think I'd live there.
I think you'd go down... You know, I think you'd fit in with the people of LA, I imagine.
I think I found my people, actually. I found my people. They didn't realise what... They'd stumbled on.
The problem that you go to LA and they go, that is just a normal person here. So what is the comedy in that? Yeah, she's got crystals, of course.
Yeah,
she's going to die with a bike helmet down a well.
I did love it. They all, like the guy that I stayed with in this Airbnb, he did like ayahuasca ceremonies and stuff. Like ayahuasca's another bit, it's DMT but better, but you go under for longer and it really fucks you. But he did the ceremonies in his house. Like I love them, they're all like, well, I walked down LA and there was a woman with a bird cage on her head and a dove, and there was a man dressed as a like 7 foot tree, and I was like, yes please. My people. Although I didn't like the dove, I thought the dove should escape, like that was a bit cruel.
So she had a bird in a cage in her head.
A bit egotistical really. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's a bird? You're having a nice day talking to everyone about your cage on her head, but what about the bloody bird? I didn't tell her.
Probably likes it. And there's a man dressed as a 7 foot tree.
Yeah. And then he was making a dog. Because I was like, why are you doing this? Because his whole makeup and he had gone to a lot of effort. And I was like, why are you doing this? And he's handing out cards going, I'm making a documentary. Great. Look it up. I didn't.
It's a lot of effort to go for that joke. Well, I like to live my life vicariously through you.
Yeah.
In the old days, I was not quite as wild as you are.
I'm not wild. I've calmed down now.
Yeah.
I
have an avuncular feeling for you.
What does that mean?
It means I'm a creepy uncle.
I knew that already
I want you to be happy.
Why don't you set me up with one of your cute little nephews?
My nephews are in their 20s and 30s, so it's not as bad as it sounded there. Do you like my nephews? I'm sure, you know.
One of them was good looking.
One of them's got married.
Not that one.
Andy, you like Andy?
I don't know their names.
Well, there's only one other.
The cute one, the good looking one.
Like, the one that looks like me.
Okay.
The one that looks like a young me.
Yeah.
Slightly taller.
Yeah.
And a lot better looking and not fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see there's an appeal to that. I can, you know, he's in Dubai at the moment. But, you know, you could head out over there.
No, they don't like Dubai.
No.
What does he do?
He's a teacher.
No, thank you.
Teaches children.
No.
Making the world a better place.
No.
No. No, I'll go with a bloke who dresses a tree and serenades me with a guitar.
No, he was gay. Obviously.
The tree was gay.
Obvious tree.
Well, it's been very lovely.
We'll end on that, will we?
It's been very lovely, yeah. It's been very lovely talking to you and seeing you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, everything going to be all right?
I'm a powerful woman in my... I'm a powerful woman in my prime.
You are. You're an amazing person. Lou Sanders, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Lou Sanders. The music is by Pest. I should know that by now. Thank you to everybody at the Leicester Square Theatre. They are quite nice here. There's good, the most, there's one member of staff who isn't as good as the others. And thank you to everyone at Go Faster Strike. The sound guy is awful. But that he's not responsible for this audio podcast, just on the video. The sound guy is awful. He's called George. And to Chris Evans, not that one. He's good. It's produced by Ben Walker. It's a Sky Potato Fuzz GoFasterStripe.com production. Thanks for listening to that. Thanks again to everyone who contributed to the Kickstarter campaign. If you want to see me do every single one of my solo shows and are near to London or in London, then in August and September, on Fridays and Saturdays, I will be doing them all at the Leicester Square Theatre. You can get cheaper tickets if you come to lots of them, and you can get a T-shirt handmade by me if you come to every single one. But thank you to everyone who contributed to Kickstarter, including the names you're about to hear. Matthew Smith, Ewan Duncan, Rob Applin, Darren Foote, Colin Anderson, Raymond Harpany, Kevin Tipcorn, Steve Mash, Dean Ratland, Gaynor Wilson, Adam Queck, Stuart Fawcett, Tim Turner, Julian Benton, Thomas Baldwin, Lauren Pilkington, Matthew Blackburn, Neil Martin, Jack Burton, Fraser Levy, Gina Lynn, Paul Jeffrey, Rob Ward, Robert Tang Richardson, Leo Vigoda, Carol Forster, Icky Kawa, Colm McGonagall, Aurora Watters, Jake, Heather Henderson, Simon Carl, Christine Sato, David Collier, Jijin John, Roy Owens, Matthew Poynton, Anne, Thomas Bayliss, Richard Olsop, Martin Jones, Neil Alford, William Bettridge Radford, Tamsin Bryant, Steve George, Martin Winch, Lopez Shackelford, and Adam Smithson.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out.
That would be lovely. All right, richardherring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It will make me feel sad.